everyone, and thank the Lord for our time to be together, and on this beautiful day, beautiful evening, and hopefully it'll be a delightful weekend for you as well. And lots to pray for, lots of need, but we have a great God. So let's just ask Him to help us. Father, we do thank You again for Your creative beauty. We thank You that we live in a world and a place in this world that truly is a gorgeous piece of property that You have made, and we praise You for it. Father, all the needs that have been mentioned today, we just lift them up to You. We know that You love Your children, You love the world, and there's so much need, and we know that we've been called to pray, so we just want to uphold them and ask that You would bless them. We think of, again, of Hope Valley as just on the doorstep of really getting started. It has already been so busy, but we just pray for real help as they, as training this week, and as Everett has said, that You might provide the workers and those who are there would really grow in the Lord and be strong in the Lord and be used of the Lord in a wonderful way this summer. And Father, for all those who are ill, who are facing tests and procedures, we entrust them to You. And Father, we think of these two families who have had these huge losses. We just pray for comfort. We pray for the ability to go through this season, that they will know Your presence with them. We thank You that both of these individuals have gone home to be with You. We have that confidence, so we rejoice in that. But we pray for comfort for those who are left behind, that You would really give them special grace to go through this time. So we just ask for help as we look at Your word. Guide us for Your pleasure, glory, and our growth. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know if you saw this video this week. It was on one of the news networks, and it kept replaying it. It was. I found it really dramatic. There was a teenager. It was a teenage boy, and he's just apparently walking down the street now. He's in Turkey, and so it's another world, but we can all identify, or at least in measure. He's walking down, and there's a building that's fairly high, it looks like, but really the camera is just on the first level of this building. And he's walking along, and apparently he heard something. Maybe it was a mother, I'm not sure. But he heard something. He looked up, and this toddler has fallen out of the second story. And I don't know if off a balcony or out of a window, because the camera was too close in. But this toddler's coming down. And thank the Lord, he was able to catch the baby as it was falling. And so he grabbed the baby and he kind of spun just, you know, to try to take care of the weight of it, right? But it kept showing that. And I was just amazed. I just kept watching this. And I think, you know, here he's walking along. And all of a sudden, this baby drops out of the sky. And thank the Lord, he had enough, you know, something caught his attention. And he was able not only to see it, but to catch it. And the little baby was fine. What a wonderful thing. I just thought it was the neatest little story, but still amazed. But that baby needed help, right? And sometimes we're in a similar, in a picturesque way, we're falling and we need help. And we want to talk about the helper who is the Holy Spirit, and we want to refer to this in our passage tonight in Romans 8. So if you turn with me again to Romans 8, Romans just packed with so many wonderful realities and truths, and this one is the Spirit's help in our weakness. We all have weakness, and the Spirit is here in the believer to help with our weakness. Now, verse 26, Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. In the same way. Now, obviously that assumes context. The Spirit, I think it's referring back to verse 23. If as you look in this passage, in verse 23, it talks about And we mentioned this already, obviously, but the first fruits of the Spirit. So it's referring to the Spirit, picks up that concept. And the first fruits of the Spirit, and as we talked about this morning, these first fruits, the Spirit is within the believer, working in the believer's life. There's evidence that God has invaded our life by His Spirit when we trust in Christ for salvation. And as we talked about this morning, the Spirit, through the Spirit, we have hope. And it's just so wonderful, as we've already looked at this passage, but this is a great and encouraging passage. In verse 24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In other words, hope gives us the ability, because we know what's coming. We're going to share in the glory of Christ. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be totally redeemed. New bodies in a new heavenly home. In this, we have hope. Because we all go through a broken world. Sometimes it's almost like walking through a world that has shattered glass all over it. And you're just trying to avoid, you know, stepping on glass or stepping in a hole or, you know, all the things. So, but we have this hope ahead of us. And so it holds out the Spirit of God. We have hope through the Spirit of God. But here we come to this part of it. Through the Spirit of God, we have help. And we so need His help as we go through our struggle. But notice, He helps us in our weakness. Now, He helps us. The idea of, I quote here, a picture of a man struggling with a heavy load beyond his ability to carry it alone. Fortunately, another person comes along and agrees to take hold of one end of the load. And what it reminded me of course, Gary and I are talking just a little bit this morning, but these illustrations, of course, being raised on a farm, that's where you draw your illustrations from, right? But we used to have, and now, I'm so far removed from farming now, and systems change, but we used to have irrigation pipes, and they were made out of aluminum. If I remember, they were about 30, 40 feet long. And so some of them were gated pipes, which mean you could open the hole and let the water out in different parts. But anyway, so they were long pipes. And I remember my brother and I, we were supposed to move these pipes. And, of course, to move one of those pipes all by yourself, I mean, you might drag it a little bit, but to move it very far, that was especially, the interesting thing is, this is a side note, if it had some water still in it, what you wanted to make sure you lifted your end up higher, because the water would go the other way, but your brother didn't like it. But anyway, it was a lot of weight. And so but thankfully, you had somebody on the other end to help you. And, you know, we'd load them on trailers and we'd move around, whatever. But a lot of times in life, we just have a load that's bigger than we're able to handle by ourselves. It's obviously not something we're picking up so much physically, but emotionally, just trying to deal with a difficult thing. And that's where we need help. And the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. In our weakness. In the New King James, it puts it in the plural, weaknesses. There's a little debate in the text, but I think that's probably the best translation. In our weaknesses, not just one weakness, but it covers a number of weaknesses. We said we live in a fallen world. We have a sinful nature. That creates its own struggles. We have all kinds of issues that we have to deal with, things that bear us down, wear us down. The Spirit's help is extended to the believer in his weaknesses. Now, one writes, and of course, the larger context in this zone is our weaknesses, especially because of our suffering. It talks about suffering earlier, and it'll talk about it again. But when we suffer, weaknesses show up. And one commentator said we have some of the weaknesses at time of suffering. Fear is a prominent weakness in suffering. So, you know, if think of the dear saints that we've prayed for. If you're suffering, you know, you can become afraid. Like, where will this illness take me? What will this situation result in? And this same writer says the Spirit can help that weakness with calm and peace. Just say, you know, God's with me. He can give me peace in the midst of the uncertainty. Another weakness is the inability to control our circumstances. Isn't that true? So many times in life, things are just out of whack, and in our weakness, we just can't control it. But the Spirit of God can either change our circumstances or enable us to go through our circumstance. And so that's another way God meets our weakness. And the third thing that this author points out, just as random areas of weakness, is loneliness. There's so many, it's amazing how many people are on the planet, but how many people on the planet are lonely people, isolated, separated from individuals. We talked about this a little bit last Wednesday, but it's a major problem for lots of people. You can walk past 100 people a day, but you can be the most lonely person in the city because you haven't really connected with anybody. And so in all of these areas, and the Spirit of God then comforts us that we're loved. We're loved by God. Even if nobody even knows our name, God loves us, right? And that's a wonderful thing. And so, but these are areas of weaknesses, and the Spirit of God comes along and can empower us and help us and meet our need. Now, one has said this, and I think this is an important, we're going to bring a little balance here. And I quote, Paul is not teaching a doctrine of passivity here. Now, by that we mean, if the Spirit of God is going to help me, well, then I just kind of hang around and wait around. No, a lot of times God calls us to a responsibility, to meet our responsibility in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our struggle, but we still have to move out. I mean, that's the way most life is. You know, you don't just sit and wait and, you know, twiddle your thumbs. We're called to move out, but sometimes it's very, very hard to move out. But we're not called to just sit and wait. Now, sometimes God does have us wait. My soul wait in silence for God only. That's absolutely true. But a lot of times we have to move forward. We just have to. And I thought it was an illustration. Charles Swindoll gives this illustration of moving out when it's really hard, when we feel our weakness. He said this. One Friday afternoon, our daughter fell to the pavement from a cheerleading pyramid and broke her back. For the next 36 hours, Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night, we sat by her hospital bed praying that her paralysis wouldn't be permanent. With her long-term condition still uncertain, I had to preach as scheduled on Sunday morning. He said, I blinked through the tears and somehow made my way through the sermon, which had surely been a flop, or so I thought. The recording of that particular sermon ultimately became the most requested of any I had delivered in that church. And then he said, why was that? He said, I am convinced that it was because I preached in utter weakness. You know, in our weakness, Lord Jesus says, you know, we are, Paul was instructed by, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. In weakness. God takes advantage of the times where we're on the bottom. We just can't hardly put one step in front of the other. In our weakness, his grace is sufficient through the Spirit's power. And how we need that encouragement. Now, there's a particular application of the Spirit's help to the believer in our time of weakness, and that is how the Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Verse 26, we read these words, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. That's one of our weaknesses, you know. Just think, people you love, people you care about, you're not quite sure how to pray for them. You're not quite sure, you know, how do I pray for this person who I love deeply? What do we pray? The Spirit of God is here to enable us. Often we may know the general circumstance. Sometimes we don't even know that. But oftentimes we know the general circumstance, but we're not sure specifically what to pray in that certain circumstance. There's a story, and you may have heard this story in the past. Augustine, who was one of the church fathers, before he came to Christ, he was, as one puts it, notoriously wicked. He acknowledged that. His mother, Monica, was a Christian. And she, obviously, as any mother, Christian mother, has a heavy burden for her child, her son. And so Augustine was planning to move to Italy. And his mother thought, Monica just kept praying, oh God, do not let him move to Italy, because she thought it would just get, he would just get involved in deeper and deeper and deeper sin, which would have been a real possibility. So she kept praying, Well, he went to Italy anyway. But there, he got saved. And it turned his whole life around. See, and the point of the illustration is, Monica knew the general thing. Obviously, she was praying for her son's conversion. That was the big request. But she thought, surely this does not work in the plan for him to go off and have greater opportunity for greater sin. But in fact, God used that. So God answered a prayer in her weakness for a far greater end than just not going to Italy. Now, I don't have anything against going to Italy. That was just where he was headed. Okay. Now, but, and notice in our passage, in verse 26, we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit speaks on our behalf. Now, it's so wonderful. We have intercessors. The Son intercedes for us from heaven. The Spirit intercedes for us from our heart, for every Christian. With groanings, notice these are interesting, with groanings too deep for words. He intercedes on our behalf. Now, we've already talked about groaning. This is, if you want a passage on groaning, Romans 8 is it. We have in verse 22, creation groans. The whole, in verse 22, it says the whole creation groans. And we've talked about that. This, the world is not right. And there's a groaning. There's a sense that things are out of whack in our world. The creation groans. And then we as Christians groan. In verse 23, and even we ourselves groan within ourselves, and we talked about that. But now we see the Spirit groans. He groans in an inaudible prayer on our behalf. Now notice it says, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. As one says, they're too profound. They defy expression. Now, it has been taught by some that this refers to the gift of tongues, and people have connected that. But this is done by the Spirit, not by a believer. And furthermore, tongues as a spiritual gift was only given to some believers. This is available to all believers. And finally, these groans are inaudible, not audible, as the gift of tongues was. But the Spirit groans on our behalf. The Spirit groans. He brings intercession to the Lord. Now let's just look at it a little bit more. Groaning too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the heart. God the Father is the one who searches our heart. This is very interesting. There's a passage in Jeremiah 17:10 that says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. So God knows exactly what's going on in our heart. But it's interesting in this passage, and I quote another commentator, by searching the heart, the Father hears the groanings of the Spirit. Now, that's interesting. This is beyond our total understanding of how this works. But the Spirit of God is within the Christian, and he groans in intercession on our behalf. The Father, God the Father, obviously in the Trinity, God the Father knows exactly what the Spirit is interceding for us exactly what we need. The relational aspect between the Trinity is an amazing mystery. But there's this, the Spirit is groaning on our behalf, who resides within our heart, and the Father comprehends that intercession, that groaning. Because, notice in verse, thank you very much. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints. He intercedes for the saints. This is a wonderful thing. Just think. God has so designed this that the Spirit of God is in you as a believer, and the Spirit of God knows what we need, and as we pray, the Spirit of God intercedes, brings the request to the Father, and the Father is responding to that divine intervention on our behalf. Isn't that an amazing thing? Just think how much God loves you. All the things God does for us that we don't even clue into, right? And I thought about, as I've been studying this passage, I thought, you know what? A lot of times I had totally not thought about this. It hasn't even dawned on my mind so many times. But notice how wonderful this is. Because it goes on, he intercedes for the saints, for you as a believer, according to the will of God, according to God's will. His intercession is in perfect harmony with God's will. Isn't that amazing? It's in perfect harmony. The Spirit's intercession is comprehended by God, by the Father, and it's consistent with what he wants to do. The Spirit's help extends to us again in the context of our weakness. We really don't know what specifically to pray for. Now just think how valuable this is. Now, think of your children. Think of your grandchildren. And a lot of times, like with some of our grandkids, they live quite a ways away. Even with our children, we don't know exactly what's going on in life, what they're doing, where they're at. But you always want their best, right? And you say, oh God, protect them. You say, God, keep them safe. God, and of course, and I'm sure this is true with you, for all your children or your grandchildren, say, God, we just pray you'll save their souls. Just bring them to Christ. We just pray for that. But then, thankfully, our oldest grandson has a pretty clear testimony. So I'm really thankful for that. And but now, he's just a young boy. He's just in grade school, basically. And so he's got a long, long journey. He's got a lot of challenges and questions and issues to deal with. But I don't know what he's doing tonight. I don't know what challenge he's going to have this month. But I can pray for his best. God, and a lot of times I do. I say, God, just your best. And I don't know how that looks. I don't know exactly how that will play itself out. But I know God knows what's best for him. But then the Spirit of God knows exactly what best is for him. So here I bring my request to the Lord, but thankfully the Spirit of God is saying, God, you know exactly what he needs. And so, isn't it wonderful? We're not just, it's not just like a scattergun where you're just shooting and you don't know if you'll hit anything. When we bring our request to the Lord, the Spirit of God says, God, I know exactly what needs to happen here. And we bring the request. And so, think of our loved ones, the people we care about so much. Isn't this a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing that God knows exactly what they need. Now, one thing I think, and I think it's important for us to make this statement. One might infer that the prayer then is unnecessary. If the Spirit's interceding, well, I'll just take a break. And obviously that is not the case. When we think of other scripture, devote yourselves to prayer. Obviously we're to continue to pray. We're to continue to be involved in prayer. And I just want to bring this in to bring balance. Prayer is aided by the Spirit, not replaced by the Spirit. He helps us. It indicates that we still have a responsibility. It doesn't eliminate our responsibility because the Spirit intercedes. In fact, one writes, "The Holy Spirit prays only in the hearts of those who pray. If the believer does not pray, the Spirit does not intercede." Now, that's his interpretation. I think it's probably right. This implied by the concept of help. He helps us, but he does not replace us. And so, in other words, that's why it's so important for us not to stop praying. Pray without ceasing. We're to continually bring the needs of those we love and care about. And think of all the needs in the list that we've mentioned. We bring the needs to the Lord, but the Spirit of God knows exactly what is needed. And I think of the loss of Wayne Smith, and it was so sudden, so sudden. I just thought, and I said something to Margaret this morning, you know, you can't even grasp what's just happened, right, if you're a son or a wife. So we pray for this family, but God knows exactly what is needed, how to comfort, you know, what decisions to make, how to get through Tuesday. So we thank the Lord, but that doesn't eliminate our responsibility to pray. We pray, and the Spirit intercedes, and He brings it. He perfects the prayer, makes it what He knows is best. And that the Spirit of God is so, we're so dependent upon Him. I think of this Ephesians 6:18. I'll read it to you, and I'm sure it will come to mind. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times." And then this little phrase, which sometimes I think we probably forget this little phrase. I know I do. "Pray with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." In the Spirit. So when we come, we realize, you know what? I'm totally inadequate here. I'm dependent. I pray in dependence upon the Spirit, knowing that He's also praying. And that's one of the reasons I think James says this in James 5:16. And you'll remember this. "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Why? Why? You know, I do think we minimize prayer. I mean, I know I have minimized prayer. You know, we also, you know, you got to get the day going. You know, we don't have time to pray. We kind of pray on the run, which should be praying on the run. But we need to make sure we don't minimize it, because we can accomplish much. Not because we're so amazing and know everything. We don't. But as we bring the needs of those that God has placed in our sphere of influence, we bring those needs, the Spirit of God says, "I know exactly what that person needs." And the Spirit of God intercedes. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so we can accomplish far greater things than we realize, because the Spirit is the one who ultimately is the power of the prayer life. We're in utter dependence upon the Spirit, but the Spirit is totally available to help us. So our responsibility continues. But thank the Lord, He's there to meet our need and empower us. I was thinking of this kind of, it's amazing how God wants us to be a part of His process. So when we're to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with groanings. And I was thinking, again, an old corny farm illustration. Used to, in the olden days, when I drove a tractor, I remember one of the things that we used to do, this is just one, we'd pull a disc, a pretty big disc, and there were times, sometimes you'd go round and round the field, but sometimes you would go back and then turn a tight turn and go right back and go back and forth, instead of going around. So when you would do that, and you go down, when you get to the end, in order to make your turn, you'd have to lift that disc out of the ground, and you'd lift it out with a hydraulic lift on your tractor. So you'd take it, and you'd be going down, and you'd be going as fast as you could because you want to get done as soon as you could. And so you'd get to the end, you slow it down just a little bit, you'd push that little lever, that disc come right out, and you'd spin that thing around, and you'd take right back up. Well, think of all the weight of that disc. I mean, there's no way I could ever pick up that disc. I couldn't hardly pick up a few of the pieces of the disc. Oh, but you know what? That hydraulic jack, it was so powerful, it could pick that disc up. But still, I had to put my hand on that jack lever to push it back. And then when I did, the hydraulic power would lift that big old equipment up. Isn't it amazing? God wants us to be a part of the process. He has the power, but we have a part. And so we go through life, we see the needs, we see the burdens, our heart aches for people, we pray, and the Spirit empowers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I was thinking of, and I will just close with, I just wanted to read these words of a hymn that we all know. Sweet hour prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. Let's just pray. God, help us be a people who pray consistently in the power of your Spirit, confident that your Spirit is empowering our prayers. Father, we think of all the people we love, the people we care about, the situations that we are exposed to, the situations that they are exposed to. May we be a people that lift up these needs in prayer. Not because we're strong, but because the Spirit of God groans with us and intercedes with us in the perfect will of God. We just ask that we will pray and you will do great things. In Jesus' name, amen.